Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow. So glad that you could join us today. Do me a favor, let other people know that we're on the air. Share that phone number, 515-602-9685, and have them call in. Because more than likely, I believe you would want to be able to talk to our guest today. Chris Dean is our guest. Chris has spent the last 15 years in deliverance ministry and the last 5 years as a pastor at Marco Pentecostal Church. He's also he's a talk show radio host, y'all. He's the host of the talk show Freedom Fighters on Luke 418 Radio. And I love Luke 418 Radio. I love Pastor William French. And I love Chris, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me introduce Chris Dean. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ken. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
and looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. The most important thing for me is just let's obey God and let's follow his leading. And like you said, normally I go in and when I'm on radio shows, I spend a lot of time talking about deliverance and altar personalities and a lot of issues that most people don't even want to think about, much less consider being real or want to deal with. But today, when you asked me to come on the show, I thought, Lord, okay, what do you want me to talk about? And this is what I heard, right after that. And I've been hearing it the whole time. And it's God provides. God provides. Amen. And Ken, I'm sure that we both have, several stories about how God has miraculously provided for us. And sometimes we take that stuff for granted, but there's people out there that they don't. They're lacking that faith. They're lacking that knowledge that God provides. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How many times are we not hearing the word of God? Because we're either not in the word or we're not around people that are sowing the word of God into us. Today, I want to sow a word of hope, of faith, and belief because we serve Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. And Ken, I am excited anytime I get to lift up the name of Jesus and talk about how good a God that we really serve. And I believe today somebody is going to listen to this show, and this is exactly some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today they're going through, and they need this word. And I think this is an on-time word for America and the world. And it's kind of funny because people look at me now, and I hear some of their stories that they tell, and they tell me this, like, well, you don't understand. You're rich. You don't understand what we're going through. You don't understand our finances. And sometimes I'm quiet and just let them talk. But occasionally I really want to tell them that, no, they don't understand.
Hold on, man.
I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to not have enough food to eat. I know what it's like to not have enough clothes to wear or shoes. I know what it's like to wonder where I'm going to lay my head down at night and sleep. I've been through all that, and I never lost sight of who I was or the direction. I know what it's like to have the repo man come and hook on to everything I owned and haul it away and think, Lord, what do I do now? I've lost everything. What do I do? And God's got a way sometimes of humbling us as well. There was a time that I thought I could have anything I want, and I went out and I bought it, and I had credit card debt. I had brand new cars. When I got paid, that paycheck, all it went was to pay all those bills, and there wasn't any money left over. And that's not a good position to be living in, but we see so many people in America today that they live like that.
Too much month at the end of the money.
Exactly. And actually we were doing fine until my wife, she got hurt at work and ended up having that back surgery. She missed 2 years of work, and workers' compensation denied any payment. And we went 3 years without a single dollar from her employer or the insurance company. And it was devastating for us. We went from thinking we were on top of the world, can do whatever we want, to, there went our cars, and there went everything that we had. And it forced us to go and rethink how we live, to reprioritize and understand, now that we're starting over again, we didn't have any credit. Nobody loaned us anything.
you know, we had to start living within our means and begin anew and learning how to live like that. And, you know, that was, let's see, my wife got hurt in 1997-ish, I think. So 1998. So it's been quite a while back. But, you know, and today it's amazing. I have some credit cards if something happens, but I don't carry balances on them. You know, my vehicle's paid for, all my little toys that I have, they're all paid for. You know, we still pay on our house, but, you know, it's a different way of living because I learned what contentment was. Contentment to say, you know what, I don't have to have all that fancy stuff. I can be content driving a pickup truck with 170,000 miles on it and be content with that. But, you know, there was a day when I wouldn't have been content with that. But back to kind of where I wanted to go on this God provides, I've been studying a lot in 1 Kings, and I've been spending a lot of time on Elijah. And in Elijah chapter 17, after he went to Ahab and he said, the God's going to shut the skies and it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And then he took off into the wilderness. And, you know, he went to the brook Cherith, and he went and he rested there, and God provided water for him. And Kim, do you know that the ravens brought him meat and bread? Isn't that just crazy?
That's crazy.
That is crazy that the birds brought him food and water. And he was there until the brook dried up. And then it dried up, and he's thinking, well, what now? I'm out of water. Lord, what do you want me to do now? You sent me here. Now the brook's dry. And sometimes we get to a place in our lives that we went someplace because God originally told us to go there. Now the brook's dry, and we want to get mad at God. Well, what God might be saying to you is, you know what? This brook's dry because I got somewhere else for you to go. I've got someplace else I need you to be. But what Elijah done, he started to pray, and he listened to God. And that is a huge thing that Elijah done that most of us don't want to do. He prayed and listened to God, and then more importantly, he obeyed, because God told him, hey, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go over there to Zarephath, because I've got a widow woman waiting for you to take care of you. And what did he do? Elijah was crazy enough to trust God and believe God, and that's exactly what he done. He didn't question God. You know, and then to show how desperate the land was, when he found that widow woman, and he went there in 1 Kings 17, in verse 11, it says, and he basically told her, hey, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. In verse 12, and I'm going to read it, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Ken, I don't think her situation could be any more desperate than that right there. And here's Elijah. God spoke through him and said, fear not. Go make me a cake first and bring it to me. And after that, fix one for your son and for yourself. And the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse fail until God sends rain upon the earth. And can you know it says that that barrel didn't go dry? That oil didn't expire. Because they listened to God and they obeyed the word of God. And God sent provision in an impossible way. Could you imagine, for months they kept taking meal out of this barrel and it never went dry? That little thing of oil, they kept using it. It never went dry.
Not only did they keep using it, she had enough that she could sell it to her neighbors.
Yeah.
That's on. Talk about provision. Come on now.
Yeah. When you go line up all the pots you can borrow, let's say you've got a gallon, little gallon jar there, and you line up 100 gallons of barrels, and you fill all 100 gallons of that, and there's still oil in your pot. There's only one way to explain that, and that is God's provision. God's provision. Folks, we got people out here today that feel helpless. You feel like that widow woman. You feel like all is lost, and what are you going to do? We've got people out there that are debating suicide today. Folks, suicide is up all over this country because people feel helpless. They feel worried. They feel despair. They turn on the news, and all they see is all this chaos that's going on in our country, and they're concerned. If you don't think people in America are concerned, go into a sporting goods store right now and try to buy a gun or some bullets, because I'll tell you, their shelves are probably empty. Why? Because there is fear in America right now. There is worry in America. There is despair in America. And we've got people that are they're trying to lean on their own understanding instead of God's understanding. And they're grabbing hold of this fear. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, that if we're serving God, we're not to serve a spirit of fear. But we're here to put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. And as Elijah put his faith and hope in the God of Abraham, we are to put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ today. Because he can make a way. He can make your gas last longer in your tank. He can make your milk last longer, your toilet paper roll last longer. I've had people tell me I'm crazy, but that's okay. I would rather be crazy. Because I tell you what, I know God can fill my gas tank.
I know he can.
I was driving down the highway, the interstate, and I can't remember where I was going to, but I don't remember if I was going to Chicago or Rockford or someplace where I had a business meeting I had to be at the next morning. I was going to drive up and stay in a hotel, and it got time for me to get gas, and because it was later in the evening, all these gas stations were closed. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I just kept going. The next exit, station's closed. Go up farther. Oh, it's closed. And, you know, today you might think that was crazy, but, you know, 20, 25 years ago, that wasn't necessarily uncommon for gas stations to close by 9 or 10 o'clock. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I looked down at my gas gauge. I was down to, I don't know, about a 16th of a tank of gas. And, Ken, I don't know about you, but I don't like walking.
I don't want
to be sitting on the side of the interstate walking.
I hear you.
And I began to pray. Lord, you know the need. You know the need. You know how far it is before I'm going to be able to get gas, and I don't. And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that the gas in this tank lasts longer and be more than enough for what I need, and I'm trusting in you to provide it in the name of Jesus. Ken, I looked down at my gas gauge, and guess what happened?
Gas gauge went up.
My gas gauge went up.
Yep.
My gas gauge went up. It went up a little over eighth of a tank, not quite to a quarter of a tank. And it didn't go all the way up, but you know what? It went up enough that I had more than enough to get to where I needed to get to fill up my gas tank because I trusted in God. I said, God, you have to provide.
There was a time I was in Houston, Texas, and God wanted me to take a friend of mine to church. Now, church was about 40 miles away from where I was at. My old pickup truck didn't have but about an eighth of a tank in it. And I said, Lord, I don't know, but I followed what he told me to do. And we drove that 40 miles. That gas gauge never went down. Not one iota did it go down. And that young man got saved that day. And then somebody had to come up and gave us money so we'd have gas to get home. Yeah. God does provide. He truly does. You know, and let me see if I can remember Psalms. Yeah, Psalms 34, I think. Probably paraphrasing now, but basically says, you know, I am paraphrasing because it basically says that, sorry, I'm getting a dead age where sometimes I'll basically says that I prayed, and in my times of trouble, I prayed, God heard me and provided. And that is what he does. Here recently, my wife and I found ourselves in dire straits. I do mean dire. We didn't know what we were going to do. And I said, well, I trust God.
Amen.
And it was a big mountain. Oh, Chris, that was a big mountain. It was, for us, it was a huge mountain.
I understand.
I spoke to that mountain. I said, mountain, be thou removed. And within days, God not only provided for our needs, he surpassed it. And the mountain got pulverized, and all our situation got rectified. And it's we believe in God. There was one time, my wife and I were running a, I was co-director and she was operations director for a homeless mission in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Well, the director and I got into it once because he thought the mission was his and I thought it was God's. And he and I got in a disagreement. We were actually living in his unfinished basement at the time. And previous to this flare-up to where we broke apart, I had been driving to the mission every morning. There was this big, beautiful house. Chris, it was a beautiful stone house, two-story, seven bedrooms. It was just a huge house. And I was driving by it one day and got to see that house. And I said, guess what? That's yours. I said, it is. Good. I went down to the mission. I told everybody that, you know, God told me that house up there was going to be mine. And they all, you know how people can be. All those people have been in there years. So they're not coming out of there. That ain't going to be your house. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. God told me it was going to be my house. Now we fast forward a year. It's a whole year. And we had this breakup. And I told my wife and I told my son, I said, we're not going to put our mouth on that pastor. We're not going to say one bad thing about him. You understand me? And I said, we're not going to tell anybody anything. What we're going to do is we're going to put our hands up and we're going to thank God for our situation. And we're going to trust God to take care of everything. Because we were running a homeless mission one day, the next day we are homeless. And
amen.
I didn't say a word to nobody. My wife didn't say, nobody said a word. We're driving down the road and somebody sees us and they pull us over and say, man, I'm so glad to see you. God told me to deal with this. And they hand me a check. Well, that paid for the hotel. And that kept going on. One guy come up to me and said, I never gave this kind of money to anybody, but God told me to deal with this. And he wrote me a check for $500. And it went on. And what happened was this. The house ended up being empty at that point in time. It happened to be owned by a friend of ours. We told him that we needed a place. He dropped the rent in half for a year. And we moved into that house that everybody said wasn't going to be ours. And we lived there for quite a few years. But God provided everything we needed. He provided the money for the down payment to move in. He provided us a way to move and the furniture we needed and everything else. He absolutely provided. And I had a prophetess friend of mine said that I would be sitting under the wings of eagles. And I used to walk around that house before I was happy thanking God for it. And I never noticed it until I moved in. But where my chair sat, right outside on the building itself, was a carving of an eagle. So I actually sat under the wings of eagles.
There you go.
But he provided. And he always has. I was telling you a little bit before we went on the air, I am a firm, and I do mean firm believer, in putting your hands up and not out. The story I just told you is nobody knew. I didn't tell a soul that we were homeless. I didn't tell a soul that we needed help. It happened. God
Amen.
I got into an argument with a young man in Africa one day because I was trying to explain to him that you don't have to put your hand out, you just have to put your hands up and trust God. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust Him. Trust means no fear, no doubt. I accept what the Lord says, and I am going to stand for the young man. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, in Psalms, the most popular psalm there is probably Psalm 23. And if we really listen to what it's saying, it's even talking about this very topic. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Well, a big thing right there is he leadeth me. Well, sometimes we're too stiff-necked to be led. So God's not able to get us to those still waters. But whenever we'll let him lead us, then he will go and provide the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my namesake, for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, and I've been going through a legal issue, and, you know, and I went back and I read this, and it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I said, "Lord, that battle is not mine, it is yours. And Lord, you know the truth. You know my heart, and you know what really happened, and you know the lies that have been told against me. And instead of me getting on social media and everywhere else and trying to fight the fight of public opinion, I said, Lord, I'm going to stay quiet.
Exactly.
And I'm going to let you fight for me." And we're 2 years into a lawsuit, and it was about a month ago, and I just keep saying, "Lord, the battle's yours, the battle's yours." And my attorney calls me, and he gives me an update, because right now that all the court cases are now on Zoom, the courthouse here is closed, and so it's just like case management stuff. And he called me, and he was going over some stuff, and I'm like, "Now, wait a minute. But why did you not refer to his interview that he gave with the police?" And Kim, we're 2 years into a lawsuit, and my attorney says, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "There was an interview on at the police station that this guy gave, and the statement that he gave contradicts this information in his lawsuit against me." And he goes, "Chris, I've got discovery. There's nothing here about a video recording." Well, come to find out, when he done discovery, they never sent him this audio recording. And then he got it and called me back, and he goes, "Oh my goodness, this defeats their entire case." I'm like, "I know." So, you know, now we're filing for a summary judgment to get all the cases, the charges, or the lawsuit dismissed. And hopefully they should have to, looks like they're going to have to repay us for all of our legal costs. So praise God for that. But it's putting it in God's hands and say, "Lord, you have to take care of it. I can't."
Well, that is true. And I just remembered the Psalms I was trying to paraphrase. It goes Psalms 34:6. And it says, "In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles." There are over 8,500 promises in the Bible, and every one of them is yes and amen. And that's a promise right there. "In my desperation, I prayed, The Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles. I can't, there are so many times in my own history that he has saved us from our troubles. He has done supernatural things, and only God, but God, only God can do these things.
Amen.
And, a few of them were financial problems. A few of them were probably a legal problem over a house once. But God prevailed, and he did save us from our troubles. There was a,
amen.
There was one time we bought this house. It didn't have heat in it. We started running electric heat, and next thing we knew, we had a $1,600 electric bill.
Mm-hmm.
No way of paying it. So we went. We'd heard that there was some assistance. So we got up early in the morning, and we drove to the courthouse to get in line and try to get some assistance. Well, we were at the wrong place. And we stood out there in the cold and the dark waiting, and we ended up being at the wrong place. And what happened was I had to go to New Orleans. I had some ministry to do there. And I told my wife, I said, don't worry about it. God's got this. I'm going on to New Orleans. And that's what I did, even though I knew my wife was, you know, at home having to handle that big bill. And what happened was she ended up in the right line. She got brought to the front of the line. She got all the help we needed while I was driving to New Orleans. God took care of the situation.
Amen.
I'm like you, Chris. I absolutely believe in the provisions of God. Because
amen.
Over the last 35 years, I have walked it out over and over and over again. You know?
Amen.
And I also believe this. I want your input on this after I get done saying what I got to say here. I believe we're about to get the receiving of not only his provision, but his also his blessings that will be beyond measure. For those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, and are doing their absolute best to fulfill their destinies in God, I believe that God will, as the word says, for those who diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of those
amen.
Who diligently seek him. And I believe that if we diligently seek him at this time, I believe we're about to step in, even though the whole world looks like it's going crazy and everything
yep.
doesn't make any sense. I believe we're about to step into a new time of not only provision, but abundance. And I believe that with all my heart, because God's been telling me for a few years now that, you know, he's made some promises to me. He's given me dreams and he's given me visions. And I believe with all my heart that here very shortly, I believe this next month, that my life is going to change drastically, not because of what I do, but because of what he's about to do. And what he's about to do is fund ushering in the kingdom. Because that's where we're at. We're at a point where we must realize that each and every one of us are called to the harvest field. Each and every one of us have a purpose to bring people into the kingdom. And we both know that that takes money to do that, especially
mm-hmm.
if you don't do what I want to do it. But there's a lot of money to do what I want to do.
Amen.
But it's a vision he's given me, and it's something I know that's going to come to pass, because I know he will give us the desires of our heart. He's already done that for me over and over and over. And you know, I believe we're about to step into the greatest revival ever known to mankind. Why? Because I believe it's the last revival. I truly believe that everything is, for the first time in history, everything is lining up for his return. What's your thoughts?
I have been preparing for a long time to go through how would we say it? Tribulation. You know, I'm one of those crazy people that I'm a post-tribulation kind of guy. And you know what? I figure if I plan for that and it comes pre-tribulation, praise God, somebody else can use those provisions I've got stockpiled. But I believe that yes, we're about to see some great things happen in the kingdom of God. And it may not be what we necessarily think or what we've got envisioned, because God always ceases or never ceases to amaze me in what he's got going on. And I think that we're going to see a lot of stuff happen even here in the next 2 months that's going to cause people to scratch their heads. I was feeling in like October, I felt like that we needed to be prepared for something to happen. And then nothing happened. And then I was really scratching my head. It's like, I just know I was feeling this. Maybe I was a little too early on the mark. But God's people are going to have to depend on God. We're going to have to go and put our hope and our faith in him, because he is going to provide for us. You know, when Moses went through the wilderness, God provided. Whenever there was nothing there to provide for him, he caused manna to grow on the rocks. He caused quail to appear. He caused water to flow from a rock. We may have to trust God for some crazy things, but God is going to provide. I think that we're in the near future, we're going to see an all-out war on Christianity, and we're going to have to be willing to stand on the word of God through all of this. And we've seen a big fall off in the churches. The attendance in church is way down right now. Now, part of it is because of the virus thing, but part of it is because some people think that, well, gee, I'll just sit at home and watch on Facebook the 30 minutes or an hour of church instead of going to church. Oh, that's good enough. Well, God is looking for those people that are sold out for him, those people that are willing to do whatever it takes to say, you know what? I want to put Jesus first and foremost, and you're going to begin to see revival begin to come forward. You're going to see churches that may have only had 10 people in them all of a sudden rapidly begin to grow and to begin to fill up, because there's people in the pulpits that are preaching the word of God. They're not padding the pews. They're not going and giving this washed down, watered down message. No, we're going to have people that are going to say, get your life right with God or go to hell. And when you get your life right with God, let's get on fire for God, because we want to see the works of God in action. People are looking for things that are real. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of the games. We have to, as a church body, we have got to get real for Jesus. We have got to walk out that faith, not just talk about it, but walk it out. We have to begin to walk in that Mark 16 anointing. We've got to just step out in it and own it. Because if we don't, Ken, who is? If we don't be the example, who is? Who's going to do it? You know, it's up to us. It's not, oh, well, you know, the pastor down the road's going to do it. No, we have to do it. We're the chosen saints. We can't depend on somebody else.
I agree with that. You know, I also think, Chris, that, and I think, I don't think, I believe this. God has chosen vessels, okay? Yes, he's going to provide in the times of troubles, and we're going to be seeing some soon. But he's also going to pull certain people out who will be the provider. Will be able to bring food and be able to help people in their times of trouble. And that's exciting to me, because I know that I'm one of those. My wife and I have a major heart. We ran food ministries for a while, and we love providing for people. You know, Amen. We've been there ourselves. We've been in that food line ourselves. We know what it Amen. Means to get food. And that's my wife's dream, is her dream is to be able to provide for people in these days ahead. And my dream is to do that, but my dream is also to bring in as many souls as possible into the kingdom. I believe I'm going to be part of this revival. I'm praying. I'm praying Amen. For it, desire of my heart. And I know he's going to do it. Why? Because it's in the desire of his heart to bring people into the kingdom. He's going to pull people out. And I just saw a notification saying that I've got a live program here in just a few minutes. But we're going to finish this conversation. Nonetheless, and I know I'm not the only one. I know my wife's not the only one. I know there's people strategically placed across this country who have the same kind of visions, the same kind of dreams to help the body of Christ and the lost.
Amen. Amen. Ken, my wife and I, we have an outreach here in town. It's a resale shop. But we help provide clothing, and for people that's either had a fire or they just quite frankly can't afford anything, or we have a lot of homeless and transients that come through because we have two major interstates right here. And we keep food supplies like MRE type stuff, pop cans of food that doesn't have to be cooked, that we provide people a toothbrush, toothpaste, mouthwash, baby wipes, because we take showers for granted. Not everybody gets a shower. And and we have these supplies here, backpacks and stuff that we give them, and socks or shoes, whatever they need, or a coat or a sleeping bag. But the greatest thing is being able to take that time to show them the love of Jesus and to pray with these people. And when you show them the love of Jesus, then they're going to listen to what you have to say. You know, it's not, oh, you've made so many bad choices. No, I don't worry about what their choices are. I worry about the right now. You know what? What can I do to help you right now? You know, I'm not here to be their mama. Help them get a day or two down the road and just show them the love of Jesus. We had a gentleman who stopped by, and he's like, I want to donate some stuff. And I'm like, okay. I go out to his car, and he's just pulling just random stuff out of his car. And he really hadn't planned anything. And I looked at him, and I says, well, what do you need? And he stopped and looked at me like a deer in the headlights. He goes, what? I said, what do you need? He goes, nobody's ever asked me what I need. And I said, well, I'm asking. And then the Holy Spirit told me, ask him when the last time he ate. Okay. I was like, so I just asked him, when's the last time you've ate? He goes, it's been about 3 days. Okay. Where have you been sleeping? In my car. For the last 3 weeks. I'm like, okay. You know what? We went and we got him some food together and some supplies and stuff, and we gave it to him. And this man sat there and bawled, Ken, because somebody took the time not to listen to the words that came out of his mouth, but listen to his heart.
Amen.
And know what he needed. And we got done. I'm like, can I pray for you? And he just starts crying. Yes. He was come to find out he was raised Catholic, and I don't know what exactly happened to him, but he thought all the evangelicals were going to hell because the way they treated him. But I was able just to show him the love of Jesus. And that's what they really need, is that love. You know, the physical things are temporary, but that love is permanent.
Amen.
You know, you know, God provides in so many ways. We just want to think about financially, but he can provide in so many ways. And I've got several stories, and I know we don't have enough time to go through all of them. But a couple things I will throw out. A little over 20 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with MS. And the doctor told us that, well, with her current state, within 2 to 3 years, she is going to be in a wheelchair, and within 5 years, she's going to require help at home and required help with her daily living and a life expectancy of, I don't know, it was like 5 to 8 years. And I said, the devil is a liar. You know, I'm like, that's the God I serve is a God that's going to provide and going to heal. And I refused to accept that diagnosis. And we rebuked it, and we claim healing and the power of God. Folks, my wife, I'm at my office right now. Yeah, she's down the hall working in her office, and she's not in a wheelchair. She's still alive and kicking. and there is no trace of any NS in her body whatsoever, because I serve a God that provides, and he stepped in and he took care of that need and he wiped it clean. Now, I've got some health issues of my own that I've been dealing with. I've been claiming healing. You know what? God hadn't healed me of all mine yet. I'm still believing. I'm still believing that God's going to send me a new liver. But you know what? It's nonsense. What's that?
I said, I meet in agreement with you that God's going to send you a new liver.
Amen. Amen. You know, I want it supernaturally. I don't want them to cut me open. I want it supernaturally. Yeah. I want it supernaturally.
I don't want to see no invasive surgery on you, my brother. So right now, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we give you praise.
Amen.
We are expecting miracles, signs, and wonders through you. We know that we don't have a hold of human power in ourselves, but we know that you can do all things. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, give Chris a creative miracle. In Jesus' mighty name, restore, renew, or replace. Whatever you decide to do, we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. I know that took us off track just a little bit, but I felt glad to do that.
Hey,
I have been so blessed over this past year. I think we're somewhere around 800 miracles. Many, 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 many of them are documented. One girl in California got a brand new heart. Doctors are just, what? You know? And when she contacted me, she was very fortunate to die. But God healed her.
Amen. And God
healed her too, because he's not a respecter of persons. And I believe,
amen,
that, you said earlier in the program that, you know, people want to see the real deal. They don't want to see no fake. They don't want to see no hype. They don't want to see none of this stuff that we've watched in the past in our churches. What they want to see is the true power of the living Son of God doing the things that the living Son of God said he would do. And in Psalms 107, verse 20, he said he sent his word to heal us and to prevent us,
amen,
from our death. And in the book,
amen,
of John, it says, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, I don't mean to preach it.
Bring it.
It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I put those two verses together and had a little bit of an epiphany. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So since the foundations of the earth were set into place, God had a plan to do what? Heal us.
Amen.
And he does it every day. I mean, I'm fortunate that I have a few Facebook Live programs and Roku TV shows that I do, and Blog Talk Radio shows that I do. And in every one of those programs, we see miracles. Every one of them. Not failed
yet.
And
amen,
that doesn't happen because of the people who are praying and believing. Now, faith helps. Don't misunderstand me. It happens because the living Son of God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And if you're like me, you probably read this Bible verse before, and Jesus healed them all. Oh, and here's another one. Oh, Jesus healed them all.
Amen.
And he did it over, amen, and over and over. He had thousands of people out there.
Amen.
You know?
The rich and the poor. He didn't care. He wasn't a respecter person. The rich, the poor, the lowly, the highly. He didn't care.
He healed them all. Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
And he's still doing that today. And I see it more and more. Now, you know, I've only been operating in the... God gave me a new gift when I went to North Georgia Revival on May 5th, 2019. And since then, I have seen more miracles in this past year than I've seen in my whole 35 years of serving God.
Amen.
Also seeing this across the board, I see more and more people coming to the realization that they have the right to use the name of Jesus Christ and his authority to have miracles to happen. I see more and more people standing up in faith and going, yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be healed. And it's happening everywhere. I see people who just started. I know one young lady who just recently got saved. In fact, I had the opportunity to lead her to Jesus. Shortly thereafter, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she's telling me in a story last week how her mother was ill, and she prayed for her, and her mother got healed instantly.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm constantly telling people, you know, you don't have to be an apostle, an evangelist, a preacher, a pastor, or a teacher.
The word says you have to believe.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. For those who believe, these signs shall follow.
Amen.
And God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh right now like never before. And I'm watching
Amen.
It happen before my very eyes. Loving
Amen.
It.
And Ken, I'm just excited and honored that Jesus allows me to be part of his kingdom and a part of what he's doing. Because it's not about me. It's all about him. And every time he uses me and I see lives touched, I'm at awe to think, who am I that God would work through me? You know, who am I? I'm a broken vessel that he had to put back together. And I think, you know, there's vessels out there that's got to be a lot prettier than mine. But you know what? It comes back to, do you believe? If you believe... If you believe, folks,
Amen.
We have to believe in the name of Jesus. Whether you're facing something today that's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever the problem is in your life today, if you will believe and trust in the Lord and watch him work, watch what he does in your life. But you must believe. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, we're running out of time, brother.
All right.
In every program, and that is, you know, we were talking about miracles, and I see lots and lots of miracles. But the greatest miracle of all is when you give your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All these other miracles, they're temporary. They're physical miracles. They're great. They're awesome. But salvation is eternal miracle. It gives you the opportunity to spend eternity with the King, with the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm not a religious person. I say things a little bit different than other people. Here's what I'm going to say to those who are listening, and you do not know Jesus. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on that cross. 3 days later, he rose again. And he sits at the right hand of the Father today. And all you have to do is believe that and ask him into your heart. Tell him, I surrender to you, Lord. I give it all to you. You come into my heart, and I will follow you the rest of the days of my life. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to have no fancy prayer. Believe and ask him into your heart. And I guarantee you this, if you ask him into your heart, the moment you do, you will know without a doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ is real and he's alive. Because when he comes into your heart, things change.
Amen.
So ask him into your heart today. And if you do, do me a favor, get a hold of me, let me know so I can welcome you to the family of God. I love meeting new brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Well, we're almost out of time. I'm sorry we're going to have to end the program a little bit early, but with Thanksgiving coming up, I had to shift my schedules, and I've got a live broadcast coming up on Facebook here.
Not a problem, my friend. I appreciate you having me, and I want to say God bless to everybody that's listening, and Jesus Christ is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what's going on or what it looks like. Jesus is still in control. Trust in the Lord Jesus and watch what he does.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you being with us. I'm going to invite
you.
Oh,
glad to be here.
I want to invite
Sounds
you back.
Great, my friend.
I want to continue with this. But as he said at the beginning of this program, God will provide. Trust him.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
All right. Goodbye, my friend.
You have been listening to The Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.